you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, coming to you this week a day early because tomorrow is, of course, Thanksgiving. I hope you have plans with family and friends. I am hanging out with my husband and some dear friends of ours here in this area, so we're not going anywhere, but we'll be with friends and loved ones, so that's always nice, and I hope that you will have a similar experience, and there will be lots of good food, whatever your traditional Thanksgiving meal looks like, which is different for everyone, I have come to realize as I've gotten older and encountered more people than just the ones that I grew up with. Anyway, as I mentioned last week at the end of the episode, I have another interview today, and this time it is with Jenny G. Perry, who is a life coach and an author. And she really comes to the perspective of overall health from first being able to love yourself. That includes loving the body that you're in, loving yourself and your personality, loving the way you interact with the world, etc. So she comes at it from that whole health perspective of physical, emotional, spiritual health, and how loving ourselves first really gives us a better and solid foundation for then loving others and creating that picture of overall health where we are in balance with our emotional, physical, and spiritual health. So let's go ahead and get started with the interview so you can actually hear what Jenny has to say about her work rather than listening to me. And so here we go with that interview with Jenny G. Perry. Hi, Jenny. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me this morning. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's sunny outside and I feel like I am solar powered.
So I would love for my listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So if you would take a few minutes to share whatever you're comfortable sharing about yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. I absolutely love to give interviews and also be interviewed. It's such a different hat you get to wear when someone's asking you the question.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that asking people questions, I was like channeling my inner Oprah. I was like, boom, 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 boom. And then when you're asked the questions, you're like, I hope I didn't sound stupid, you know. But so I am a life coach, and I am a mother of five. I am an author of a novel, The Jennifers, and a self-empowering book called A Sex Pot with Stretch Marks. And really, everything that I do is about empowering women to love themselves through self-love, and also I'm really heavily into the relationship aspects right now, because when people would come to me for life coaching, sometimes people think they want one thing, but then you can see all the other things that need to fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there's just a lot of people coming to me that their relationships are not what they look like on social media. And I hope that your listeners can really take in what I'm saying to not compare yourself to people on social media, because the happiest looking couples are not what it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So don't compare yourself to anybody on social media. That's a huge thing. But I'm super passionate about really helping women just really feel like a goddess inside. Like, the power of that is just going to change the world. It really is. More women felt good about themselves, they would be, in business, changing the world. Like, that's just, I get so lit up about that. I feel like a cheerleader for all women.
Nice. Thank you so much for sharing that. So when it comes to your work as a life coach, what is your basic approach to that work?
What I always do is, it's like, I love to sink my teeth into something. Like, even if I meet a stranger on the street and they start telling me something, I start getting intuitive hits like crazy that I'm just like, okay. Like, it just flows out. So what I do is I always have people send me over their backstory, because I don't want to waste an hour of them telling me all of the things that are negative from the past. And if they can send it over to me, immediately when I read it, I start getting energy flowing, start getting some hits. And then that way, when they come to me on what they want to change, I'm like, okay, well, here's where your block is. Here's where your belief is. Because the number one problem that people have, no matter what the issue is you have a desire and you have a conflicting belief that blocks it. So it's like they say they want this thing, and it's like, okay, well, why can't you have it? Well, they'll tell you why. And so until we can kind of like go back into the past and see where that belief came from, once we kind of unlock what that is, then we don't have to keep like going over it and going over it, because I really believe in the law of attraction as a way of not that people can just manifest a car, like that's not my jam, but more so in like your vibration and focusing on what you want versus what you don't want. So we will visit the past, but you know, revisit the past, but we're not going to stay there. Because I like to give them a lot of tips and tools on what to do right now. Like the minute I get off the phone with them or Skype, the minute after, they know what to do. And then depending upon whether people just want to be in the mindset, I also do like energy clearings and help people have the tools to be able to do it themselves. Because I don't know how like woo your listeners are, but we are so affected by energy, the energy of other people, the energy of the world. And if people don't understand how that works, then they're constantly drained. They have people in their lives that are negative, and they just don't understand what kind of toll it's taking on them. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like, I educate and empower them so that way, you know, their life can always be, they can be forever changed because now they know better. I always tell my clients that their life force that they have is like their own Super Mario Brothers or some like video game back in the day when it was simple, and how you have this life force. And some things that you do, like you hop on a mushroom and that would gain you power, and or then you fall down or get hit by a whatever the like animal would be and it would take away. And everything you do in your life is the same. Like some things add to your life force and some things take away. And there's nothing across the board really that we could say that affects people the same way. Because for somebody who would be an alcoholic, their alcohol would negatively drain them. Whereas for someone else, a glass of wine in the evening, that is part of their self-care. They're taking a bubble bath or, you know, in their gratitude journal. Like, there's certain things that, you know, exercise even. I'm a huge proponent of wellness and exercise. But if you're not in the positive mindset, the exercise could be a negative thing for you until you reframe the mindset. So I really just like to try to take everybody on a case-by-case basis in that way. But I think that movement... The movement piece, I definitely stress for people, but that's going to look different for everyone. So I have a mind, body, spirit approach. So the mind is where we work on the mindset. The body is about, like, what are we doing to it that's positive? And I'm not some person who's going to make you like, oh, you can never have sugar, you can never have chocolate. Because sometimes when you love yourself, you're going to choose the chocolate. But for someone else, they might not, right?
Right.
So I think that it's really, you have to feel what is right for you. If you feel guilt around it, then we'd work on that. But the movement piece in this day and age, our brains are working at such a faster rate than it ever have. Like the information that you take in one day is the equivalent of the information somebody would take in a lifetime, because it's just constant. And that leaves us actually so highly stimulated. But for people that are sitting at a computer desk, you know, then they go home and sit on the couch, you have energy in your cells. You have emotions. You have all the stuff that's being processed in your body, and you need to slow it out. So, you know, especially if you're in feeling like stuck or negative, you get in a bad mood, always go to movement. Because if you exercise, take a walk, anything where you stretch your body, you literally get that life force flow into your body. It's why people love yoga. It's also why people, you know, love the runner's high. It's like, you know, we get things pumping. And I think that's like one thing that people that will tell me that they hate to exercise, I'm like, that's because you're looking at it in such a negative way. And if you tell yourself that you hate to exercise, this is where the mindset and the body come together. Then when you exercise, your body is actually rebelling against you, because it's like, well, you're punishing us. Versus if you have the mindset of that, like, I love being fit. I love moving my body. I'm so grateful for my body. No matter what it is, it changes things. It just completely changes things. So I definitely rely heavily on mindset. And then the energy component is the other one that's where, like, when people say good vibes, it's not just about affirmations. It's also the energy of it. You got to make sure your energy is aligned with those mindset techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. And then, the spirit approach, for me, that looks different for everybody. So, I could talk to a Buddhist, or I could talk to a Christian, or I could talk to somebody who just, if they worship nature. And that component is such a huge factor. And for some people, that spirit approach would be their connection to their family, right, or their partner, or, nature. It's very much like, it's not, to me, that's not one size fits all either. To me, I would say God's like ice cream. It's like whatever flavor you like, it's ice cream.
So while you are pondering what flavor ice cream God might be, we are going to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, Jenny will be talking more about this idea of self-image and self-worth and not comparing yourselves to others and how that really affects your overall mindset and your overall state of health. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. As you were listening to those commercials, I wonder if you came up with your flavor of God ice cream. If so, I would love to hear them on social media. Go to our Twitter page or our Facebook page and let me know what flavor ice cream God is for you, because I truly am interested to know this. I think it would be a fascinating exercise. Anyway, let's go ahead and get back to that interview with Jenny G. Perry as she talks more about self-image and self-worth and how that affects our overall health. On your website, you have a lot of, you have a lot. It's great. It's a very fun, very vibrant website. But there seems to be a lot of images and information about self-image. And I know that you speak about empowering women. So talk about your approach to your own self-image and how you talk about this with other women.
The part that is very important here for women to understand is that I'm all about, sex thought with stretch marks. If you read the book, that's a super empowering book for women to own their truth and to love who they are and to love the outside of themselves, because that is really important. It's important to love yourself on the inside and on the outside. And a huge thing that what my why is and why this started is because I was a young mom without a voice, without a passion, who was overweight, and I was just so angry. And so I lost the weight, and then guess what? I was more unhappy after I lost the weight, because the buzz wears off of everyone being like, oh, you look fabulous. Mm-hmm. The buzz wore off, and I was like, oh my God, I hate myself. The armor fell off, and I'm like, I hate myself. And I really could not believe that it was not the thing that was going to make me feel like who I was meant to be and make me feel better. And I tell people all the time that if you lose the weight, you get the guy, you get the job, that's not the answer. It's mm-hmm. you. It's inside. And it's easy to say that, but mine was like a physical manifestation that you could see it and you were like, how in the world were you not happier afterwards? And it was like, well, then you have to deal with your stuff. And the stuff on the inside, on all the reasons why you're not wonderful and why you don't love yourself. And it was a lot about self-forgiveness and about, what my idea about, my idea of who I was then was, it was only indicated by the way others thought of me. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a prison, because it was like I was trying to keep it, please, because I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the word empath, but there's some people who are very affected by energy and the energy of other people, and this helps me as a life coach. But if somebody would be annoyed with me, I would feel it double. I would feel it so painful to be in the room with them if they were upset with me.
Right.
So that's where the people-pleasing came in. And I was trying to be, the perfect mom and wanted everything to look a certain way. And so I got that image of what I thought it looked like on the outside. But I look back at pictures, and I feel like the most beautiful that I've ever been, because I own all the parts of myself. And the whole idea of self-love is it's about on the inside and on the outside. It's not just when you're looking cute. It's not just when you're nice to your kids. It's not just when you're doing all the right things. It's when you were a jerk to your kids, you yelled at them. It's when you ate the whole cake and not just a slice of the cake. Mm-hmm. It's when you have a fit or you notice that you have wrinkles on your face. It's that's what self-love is. It's not this prepackaged thing about just taking bubble baths and, oh, I love myself. It's really it's confronting your own shadow side. And that shadow side is where our ego is. And it's where our inner child work is. And it's the stuff that you don't want to look at about yourself. And it's the stuff that when people point it out, it triggers you. But that's such a gift because, you know what? I don't like perfect. I love the idea that we're all a mess in a certain way. I mean, really, when you get down to it, like when you talk to your girlfriend and she tells you, like, I have no idea how to figure this out, you don't look at her and think, oh, my God, she's so ugly. Like, she's such a mess. And like, you look at her and you're like, oh, but honey, I love you. Like, that's one aspect of you. Mm-hmm. And you love her, but the fact that she's being real and authentic. And so, to me, the most beautiful people in the world are the most authentic people and the ones who love themselves. And the really powerful part about self-love is that when I actually learn to love myself, and we all have our moments where, you know, we have doubt, but I'm talking about a locked-in self-love choice every single day, is that I don't look at any other woman like she's my competition. Like, that just doesn't exist in my world. I look at every woman as she's so beautiful, and I compliment them, and I look for the beauty in them. And when you do that, oh, my God, your relationships completely change, because before that, I have to be honest, because I was always comparing myself to my friends. It would be like, she's a better cook or an entertainer, or she's nicer than me, or she's thinner than me. Or it was just constantly, it was a scorecard with everyone else. It was just like, where do I measure up? And then, you know what, your friendships are going to suck because you're always going to need to be better than them, but yet you're so insecure that you will never feel like you're better than them anyway. So it's a lose-lose there. So it's really important where, you know, when I take selfies, I'm so about, like, being unapologetic in loving yourself. And for a lot of women, like myself in my 20s, if I would have met this 40-year-old Jenny, I would have been like, I don't like her. I would have been very intimidated. I would have been like, why does she like herself so much? And now I know after coaching for so long and for writing and really exploring this whole topic, what we were so confused with as young girls is that when you're little, they tell you, oh, you're so adorable, you're so beautiful, and there's so much focus on your external exterior. And then you get to be a teenager, and you're like, oh, I'm looking good, and your mom or somebody else might tell you, like, all right, don't get too big for your britches. Like, don't get too cocky. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? I'm totally confused on what that looks like. Like, the idea of self-love, you know, I'll even see, I saw a celebrity, Juliana Huff from Dancing with the Stars, say that she didn't post this one picture of herself until recently, but she didn't want people to think that she was, like, full of herself. And it's like, that's so funny that we are so worried about what other people think. And it's like the difference in narcissism and self-love. A narcissist has an inflated view of themselves where it's like no one else is in the same stratosphere as them. Self-love is about, like, loving yourself and loving other people. It's not a negative thing in any way, shape, or form. It's for someone to think you love yourself too much, that's about them. That's not about you. And it's throwing away that idea of, you know, oh, don't be too selfish. And really, when people tell you not to be so selfish, sometimes that means you're putting your needs above them, which I think women, especially as mothers, need to learn how to take care of themselves so they can teach their children how to have good boundaries, how to not be codependent. Because you can have your cake and eat it, too, in that way. Because if other people always need for you to do it their way, that's not fair.
Right.
I truly believe moms can, because putting yourself first, that whole idea of, you know, the oxygen mask, is not like you're going to not feed your kids dinner and go get a pedicure.
Right.
It's about making sure that your energy, and this is where one of my biggest tools is teaching people, and in my 8-week program that I have right now that people can do as a self-study, they could get it if they go to bit.ly/goddesstime. Mm-hmm. And in it, one of the tools that I teach them, which is like if I had any tool that I could tell people to like use, is figure out what your vibe raisers are. Because if you figure out what raises your vibe, when your vibe is low, you will already have something set in place where you'll know what to do. And that's the problem, is that people often think that it is, it's always outside of themselves, and it's not. It doesn't have to be, you know, like a problem being fixed. Because how many times do we have in our lives where, like, you might have, like, business is going good, and, like, your relationship is going good, but, like, your relationship with one of your kids just is not doing that well. Like, there's always going to be one area of your life that needs a little bit of improvement. It doesn't have to be terrible, but you're not always going to get that immediate gratification that the problem is going to get solved in order for you to feel better. So that's where you need to figure out, like, what your vibrators are. What are the things that make you happier, that make you feel calmer, that make you feel more aligned so you can go to them? Because it's not always going to be a pill that you take to make you feel better. It's not always going to be the problem that gets solved. And it's certainly not going to be about other people changing, because that is definitely going to cause you a lot of problems there.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thing is empowering people to really understand how much control they have in their lives in the way of the way they can feel. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have pain or you're not going to get your feelings hurt or whatever. That's not what it's about. Because once you can get on the other side of that, there's two patterns that people will do. And one is the pattern of a positive person, and the other would be of a negative. So we all know the negative person is that they have now cried about this or yelled about this, and what they do is, instead of choosing, when there's that little bit of relief, to go to the positive mindset of the vibe raiser, you know, have something that's going to make them feel better, whether it's a walk or a cup of tea, reading their book, they're going to go back and they're going to call the next person a bitch about that situation. Or they're going to rehash it with that original person and have to be like, you know, have to constantly be in that negative mindset. I think we all know people like that, you know, where they have to tell everybody. And I say, like, you can tell two people, and after that, it's you with the drama. Because you might need to process it with your life coach and your mother or your therapist and your husband. But if you have to tell somebody else about the drama, another person, then that's you. Then you're feeding off of the drama, which is one thing that certain people don't understand, is that they do feed off of that, and that's something to take a look at. I think we've all had that moment in our lives. You know, it's the middle school, you know, like it's the middle school mentality of where it's like people are like, you know, it's where they'll commiserate together, like, oh, my husband, he's so annoying, you know, like that's what they'll do. And it's like there's so many other ways to build up your energy to make you feel like that kind of like buzz. You can have that from talking about positive things too.
One of my pet peeves is people who do it on social media, where they sort of vague book something melodramatic and then wait while their friends are like, oh no, we love you.
Yes. That's one of my pet peeves, is when people have to go on a rant, because I won't even read them. I'm just like, no. Or if they're vague like that, and it's like, oh my God, yeah, seriously, it reminds you of middle school. It really does.
It does.
It totally does.
Yeah.
And I think we've all had that moment where we want to make that. What people need to understand about social media is that everything that you do, everything that you write down, everything that you say, it's you're sending energy out there in the world. And I am not perfect in any way, shape, or form, so I'm not saying that. I never make mistakes. But, you know, when I'm posting on social media, I put that out there as a billboard to the universe, like, bring me more of this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to complain about how rude people are, it is a guarantee the next day or the day after that, you're going to find somebody that's rude. It's the way it is. It's your mindset. It's your vibration. You are going to attract people. And some people might think, oh my God, that's too simple. No, we all know somebody that says everybody is a jerk. Everybody, you know, I can't stand everybody at that store. Everybody at that store is annoying, whatever. They will find the jerk everywhere they go in the room. They will. And that was one time it happened to me in the grocery store, where the lady behind me was telling me how much she couldn't stand the store and everybody that worked there. And I turned to her and I just said, you know, everybody's always helpful to me here. And part of that is because I am, and I try to be a really helpful person, so people are helpful to me. Do you get the bad egg in there every once in a while? Yeah. I mean, but you don't have to call everybody you know to tell them about it, right?
Right, exactly. Or mutter under your breath in line, hoping someone will acknowledge your muttering and bitch with you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A little passive aggressive there. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where it's like, you know, one of the tools with that is to just, if you can be in more gratitude, because there's going to be aspects that you're working in your life, but if you could just be like I told you, I was so grateful for the fact it was sunny out today.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, okay, that's one thing. If you can focus on one thing, be grateful every day, which, you know, for some people, they like to make gratitude this, but I think it's like even just check in with yourself and be like, what could I be grateful for right now? And just think about how your life can change with that mindset. Like, right now, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm thinking about, like, I'm wiggling my toes right now. And I'm thinking about, like, thank God, like, that I have, like, working arms and legs. Like, and this body does amazing things, even if I feed it junk food, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that we take for granted that are so basic. I mean, just, you know, like that joke where it's, like, first world problems, where you're, like, the Wi-Fi is so slow here. And it's, like, it's a first world problem.
Right.
There's a lot of our problems are not really that big of deals, but we make them to be so big, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to jump in here one more time. We do have to take our final break of the podcast. And when we come back, we'll be concluding my interview with Jenny G. Perry. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, and we'll go ahead and get back to that interview with Jenny G. Perry. So you also talk on your website about, well, and your book, it's Sex Part with Stretch Marks, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yep. Talk about your advice for maintaining a healthy marriage.
That's one of my favorite topics because I keep it real can be. As much as, you know, you're never going to be 1,000% real on social media because it's not really fair to the people in your life, you know,
right.
that would be weird. Although I'm sure, like, some of the TV shows, reality shows, they do. But in all honesty, in my 20s, you know, having, you know, sex with my husband, you know, we went through dry spells where he was like, yeah, when I was working a lot, we would do it once a month. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I forgot. And then, you know, in my 30s, sometimes it was once a week. And now it's like, you know, sometimes once a day. But that is something that's super important. But my mindset was, you know, before I found writing, I felt like I was always giving energy away. It was always like, oh, one more thing I have to do. Like, one more thing. Because I was a lot about obligation. Everything is an obligation. And now it's like having 5 kids has taught me, like, I don't do things that I'm not obligated to do unless I really feel in alignment with it. Because if not, I resent the other person because I'm resenting myself because I couldn't say no. And that's a huge lesson to, like, don't just say yes, don't.
Yeah.
Like, and if the person doesn't like you because you don't say yes, like, then they're not your people.
But right, exactly.
But for us, you know, the physical aspect is a huge, huge, huge thing for us. But it's not just about the sexual part. It's about making time. Like, when I think about how much time we spent apart from each other, like, we'd be in separate rooms watching TV. I was like, the minute he walked in the door, I'd run out the door to go just get away from the kids.
Right.
And I was taking him for granted, and he was taking me for granted, and we weren't really working on ourselves. And it's in the past few years that it's been beyond good. Like, in my early 30s to now at 40, I mean, it's just like, I can't imagine our marriage being better than it is. Do we ever have an argument? Yeah. Do you ever have to work through things? Yeah. I mean, that's, anybody who's going to tell you that they never have an argument, a disagreement, somebody's feelings get hurt or signals get crossed, I don't believe it. I think that then you're not being real with one another because your relationship with your partner, to really make it epic, it's going to be an intimacy on every level. It's going to be a physical intimacy and it's going to be an emotional intimacy. I mean, that, to me, my husband knows more about me than anybody else in the whole entire world. And I know more about him than anybody else in the world. And we embrace each other, like, completely. And we don't focus on the negative. Like, does he leave his clothes on the floor in the bathroom? Every single day. Every single day. There's a pile of his work clothes And eventually he picks him up. I really don't care. It's not a big deal. I mean, when I was first married to him, I was 20 years old, and I used to nitpick about every little thing. And now I'm just like, whatever, I don't really care. You know, he is so loving to me, and he's focused on the positive aspects with me that we will point things out, you know, oh, you know, that bothered me, or this and that, but we just choose to not focus on that. I mean, could you imagine if every marriage in America that was salvageable, okay, if they could focus on the positive aspects about their partner and do kind things for the partner, and that's where, like, the love languages come into play, because for me and him, it's like, I don't need the gifts from him. I need the presence from him. I need the affirmative words and his presence.
Right.
And he's somebody that did, like, acts of service. That's, you know, his teammate. So you have to know, like, how the other person needs to be loved and honor that. Like, don't shame them, because if he doesn't bring you flowers, buy yourself the flowers. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you.
Right.
Because that whole idea of what romance is, I mean, you might have a guy who, like, he likes to, you know, build you a beautiful table. Okay, we'll be happy it's a table. Be happy he's doing something for you. And so to me, the whole idea of intimacy is that, you know, like, what it started to change that to in an emotional way is that when he would come through the door, because I wouldn't automatically go to, like, what the kids did wrong or the crappy stuff of my day, and he wouldn't go to the, you know, what went wrong at work, because then we'd go back into the energy of the negative. It was more like what we started doing is saying, like, what do you want to talk about now? And then it totally changed. It was like, or, you know, you could say to your partner, tell me the best thing that happened today. You know, tell me the best part of your day. Focus on that. We started having, like, wine and cheese together and finding shows that we like to watch on TV. Because that's the thing, is that I could always watch The Real Housewives later, but I want to focus on, you know, what can I watch with him? So it's the making the time. It's the, you know, we even started, you know, listening to music. It started with one day I was like, I don't even know. I think I was just like, I want to have you listen to a song that I really like. And I said that, I was like, I want this played at my funeral. And he's like, I don't want to listen to that. You know, this was after we had it. That was actually, I think we had listened to a few songs that I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd like look at the lyrics of songs, and we just really started to enjoy that music time together and just really connected. Like, we didn't have to dance. We just sit there with each other and listen to songs that really we enjoyed the vibe of. And so my funeral song was, the title, we are actually going to get as matching tattoos, just the ink in cursive, and it's Into the Mystic by Van Morrison. And that song is just like, it just reminds me of him and me and our connection with each other. Because that whole idea of soulmates, I know some people roll their eyes at the idea of soulmates, but it's like when you love somebody on a soul level, you make that commitment and not, you know, obviously you're going to have your bad days or your moments where you're like, why are you not being present? But it's like that kind of commitment to somebody where you're like, I love you so much, like I can't even imagine my life without you. And that's something where I think in this day and age, we're so afraid to fully dive in, to give all of your being. And like, I couldn't give any more of my being to my husband. Like, we are those people where it's like, he is, like, I adore him, I worship him, I am obsessed with him. And that sounds like such crazy words, and me and him were talking about that last week, and I wrote on Facebook about it, because I think that's so weird to people nowadays, that you would really be that deep in love with somebody when, you know, the divorce rates are so high, mm-hmm. whether they're married or not. But it's like, no, it's about, like, to me, I want to live a totally fired up life all the time. I don't want to half-ass any relationship. I want to be all in, or like, what's the point? And there's a lot of people that are going through the motions in their marriage and in their life. And it's like, don't wait. Like, what are you waiting for? Like, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting to get cancer? Are you waiting for some wake-up call? And that's what I actually prayed for in my 20s, is I remember feeling totally lost and being like, what am I even here for? I don't get it.
Mm.
And this was, you know, after the weight loss, a couple years later. And I remember, and I really hadn't stepped into the writer in me. It was like something I was dabbling with. And I remember I used to pray to God, and I used to be like, I want to be a pillar of light. That was my one thing. I don't even know if I knew what that meant, but I was reading Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I was like, I want to be a pillar of light, and, you know, for other people. And then my other one was, I want a perspective without tragedy. And what that meant is that I wanted to fully appreciate my life without something tragic happening. And there's a lot of people that may, I hope that hits home. Because honestly, like, you know, don't wait until, like on one of the Real Housewives, of course I'm referencing it again, because to me, they're a perfect example of you can have the life that you think you want and not be happy, right?
Right.
But the one woman said she knew that once they stopped having sex that the relationship was over. And the funny part about that is I know people that are in relationships and they're not having sex. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that for women who their libido might not be at what my level is, what I would say to them is that don't think that your libido is just your hormones or just because you have small kids or any of that, because after two kids, my libido sucked because I had to work through my own issues, okay? I had to make sure I was taking care of myself. Listen, if you're people-pleasing all goddamn day, you are not going to have anything left to give your partner at night, let alone even give yourself and love yourself because you're spent. But then, I mean, after my fifth child, I didn't skip a beat. I didn't feel not sexy. I didn't feel, you know, turned on and, you know, like insatiable. I never stopped. That never stopped because it's something I activated within myself. And that's part of that being authentic. And I'm really, I try to be an unapologetic person about who I am because I think that there's so many women that suppress themselves. And it's like, I want them to like to unleash that sex pot. And it's really that goddess self, that woman who has a lot of opinions and that who has desires and has wants and has things that she just doesn't express because she's trying to play nice. Mm. She's trying to play that, you know, not being like a bitch. And what my acronym that I would just want to share with you guys about bitch is that did you ever just need to say something and you're like, your first thought is, I don't mean to be a bitch. And we say that, and it's like, why would you say that? And it's literally, you're calling to change an appointment, or you're calling to say, I don't like broccoli, could you make something else? Like, come on now. And the thing about, and I want people to take in what I'm going to say about what bitch is the acronym is being in truth clearly heard. So you're just being in your truth clearly heard, and that's really what it is. Hmm. Because there is a part of us that still feels like we can't be that woman or else we are, you know, can go back to the, you know, the 80s, you know, 80s movies where there was always the mean girl or Alexis Carrington on Dynasty. And to be a powerful woman, you had to be cold and you had to be a bitch. And it's like, no, sometimes a bitch, somebody thinks you're a bitch just because you told them that you didn't like that. You didn't like the way they spoke to you. Okay. I mean, God, if that's the worst thing you can call me, I'll own it. That's fine. And that doesn't mean that I'm a mean person at all. I'm super kind. But it's these, changing these ideas about what words mean. Like, I don't need to be nice. I'm a very nice person. I don't need to be nice because sometimes you're not going to be nice. Sometimes you have to be like, no, like, I'm going to call my insurance company after the podcast and I have to argue about something. And so I'm going to be kind, but I might not be nice, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And that whole idea of what a goddess is that, because that's my whole theme right now with my goddess program, is what is a goddess? A goddess is not just going to be like, you know, floating in robes and she's so sweet and sexy and it's all nice. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's her, like, you know, burning down the barn in order to rebuild something. It's like, you know, getting rid of things that no longer serve her, cutting off toxic relationships. Like, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be sometimes not what you like it to be in order to be a goddess, you know. It's the real inner work is not all fluff. And sometimes I think that it's easy to read all the quotes on Instagram, and it's easy to be like all about wellness and drinking your green juices, but it's the real inner work. It does take work. It takes time, and they are muscles. Self-love, being a goddess, you know, you're being connected with your sensuality, because a lot of women are not connected with their sensuality. They literally do not even understand what that word means because they're like, okay, sex is something that we do, but you can live this sensual life where your whole life gets to be pleasure. You get to be fired up all the time. That is something that is a muscle you have to practice. It's not something that you know how to do. So it's just like going to the gym, and you can't expect to be able to lift 20-pound weights if you haven't ever lifted weights in your life. And it's something that every day you practice until it gets easier. And now, like, when I take a selfie, not for one second am I worried what someone's going to think of me taking a selfie. I'm the selfie queen. And I love when I can share my other friends and other goddesses out there that are taking a selfie. It literally makes me want to cry because I'm like, oh my God, she loves herself and she's feeling so good about herself. Like, that brings me so much joy. Like, I want to hug her. I want to just tell her I love everything about her face. And then what the typical thing would be is that, like, you say, oh, but I can see my wrinkles or my nose or this or whatever. Listen, my nose is crooked. It's something that if I focused on it, that's all I'd see. But we're always going to have those things that I think beautiful faces are not perfect. I think that they might have something a little bit different to them. And thank God, or else we all look like a Barbie doll, right?
Yeah. Well, I know that you have, well, you have to call your insurance company, which is never fun. But so I want to honor your time. So tell us where people can find you on, where your website, where they can find you on social media, et cetera.
Okay, well, I just want to thank you again so much for having me on here. I really enjoy getting fired up and connecting with you. That's one of my favorite things.
You're obviously very passionate about what you do, and it really comes through in what you say.
Oh, thank you. And see, I was just writing about that this morning on Facebook. They can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever they can find me. LinkedIn is Jenny G. Perry. That's my name. And my website is jennygperry.com. And they can find out about my program, my Inner Goddess Experience. Because I want all these women going into 2018 to just, like, feel good about themselves and, like, that ripple effect in the world. But that's bit.ly/goddesstime. But I was talking about what's super important about relationships is connection. But it's also that word connection. I feel like in this day and age with social media, that we're so busy and like the connections are not like what it used to be back on the day where you talk to your girlfriend for an hour on the phone each day, or you know you send texts. But they're still valuable. If everybody on this listening to the podcast sent a good text out to somebody else, just telling them out of the blue what they love about them. That really does make an impact. It makes an impact on the world. It really does. And the whole thing about connection is if you want to change your connections with other people and fully connect with them, with your partner, with your friends, with your children, with your parents, connect deeper with yourself. Connect with your body, okay? Change the dialogue with your body. Change the connection with your higher power. Like, those things are super important because if you think about it, like, when you're going to look back on your life, it's all going to be about your connections. Like, you're not going to take your car with you. It's going to be all the love that you had, all the good vibes, all the happiness, like all of those precious moments that you had. So just focus on connection. I think that's super important in this day and age. So, but Kay, if you want to connect with me, please say hi to me on social media and just say hi. I listen to you on the podcast and, you know, I would love to connect with you guys. That's one of my favorite things in the world is connection.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you are very busy, and so I really appreciate that you took the time out of your day to speak with me and my listeners about your work.
Oh, thank you so much. Wish you all well.
Oh, thank you. Once again, I would like to thank my guest, Jenny G. Perry, who is an author and a life coach and has some really great ideas about our overall health being affected by our self-image, right? So, my goal here for these interviews, of course, is to give you some different perspectives, give you some different voices. Your health is so important, and there are as many approaches to your health as there are pretty much people in the world, right? Everyone is different, and everyone's health is different. How you approach your health is different. So I want to give you as many voices as possible for you to think about your health, think about the changes that you might want to make in your life when it comes to your health, and then find those resources out there that might be able to help you to implement those changes, might be able to point you in the right direction for resources and whether that's books or someone to talk to in person, but those resources to help you change your health and your life for the better so that you can live the healthiest possible life and be the healthiest you that you can be. So thank you again to Jenny G. Perry for joining me today. Thank you for joining me as well, for listening as always, and I hope you'll join me again next time when I have a third interview lined up for you. This time it is with Dr. John McGrail, who is he has a PhD, he works in hypnotherapy, and he has an approach that he calls synthesis. And so it's a really interesting approach to health, and he is very passionate, very interesting to listen to. So I hope that you will join me next time for that interview with Dr. John McGrail. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any of those apps that you use for your mobile devices. And you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and Facebook. I would love to hear from you. Come and tell me your thoughts on the podcast. Tell me the things you're struggling with in terms of health. Tell me those things that are working really well for you in terms of your health. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I wish you a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. I'm going to do my best not to eat my weight in pecan pie, if that is possible. I love pecan pie, but if I do eat my weight in pecan pie, I will just get back up and dust myself off and set my goals anew, because it's not the end of the world. Love yourself, and love yourself even when you eat too much pecan pie or pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie or mashed potatoes, whatever it is. Love yourself. So happy Thanksgiving, and I just hope that you can be the best and healthiest you possible. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.